Welcome back, everybody, to School Spirit here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Tom McNew here with my lovely co-host.
Hello.
That's my beautiful wife, Anne Marie, who's sitting in today with us as we continue our conversation with Miss Sally Waterfield and Miss Hillary Caceres in the Smart Families program. First of all, I want you to make sure you go check out their website, smart-families.org. Smart-families, plural, dot org. If you've missed any of the previous sessions about the Smart Family Program, or you want to go back and listen to them again, download them, put them on your phone, make your kids listen to them 155 times,
Share them with your family
share them with your
members.
family and friends. That's right. That's right. They're all on our website, armorofgodradio.com, under that schedule tab. Ladies, thanks again for joining us here.
Thank you for having
Thank
us
you for
back.
having us. Yeah, we're
Yeah.
so excited. Looking forward to this every time we get to connect.
So again, today we are continuing with our community norms. For those of you that are having that chance to hear otherwise, these are kind of the four tenets of the program. We're on number three, which is delaying social media till age 16. I'm just going to kind of let you guys again talk through this, but I'm going to start with this question. Why 16?
I love that question. And I think social media is a really tricky conversation these days just because it has broadened over time, which we're definitely going to want to get into so parents are aware of. But 16 is an age where your brain is really getting to a place where they can sort of discern some of the content that they are seeing. And while it feels like a safe ground, I guess one could even argue that 18 is even more appropriate because that's when they are allowed to sign a contract and they're legally able to vote and other things are happening at that age. But if you're going to look at where a child is in regards to puberty and developing relationships with individuals within their life, 16 feels like at minimum a place where we want to start. Exposing them to some of these components of technology that are not going anywhere. So, Sally, from a neurological perspective, I know that's still a little bit, of an area where that brake pedal has not been developed, but it's certainly made some progress from when it's starting to develop around the age of 10. Is there anything I may have missed there?
Well, really, so people may be aware that kind of currently the age 13 is where parents and families have begun to think maybe that's an appropriate age. And just to let you know, the reason why age 13 is something that we have often heard around, what is a good age for children to have social media, it's to do with data collection. So legally, 13 is the age that companies, when they can begin really just gathering this data on children. There is a law, the COPPA law, which is the Children's Online Privacy and Protection Act, which stipulates that companies cannot collect data on these minors. And so they made that law really with no regard to the neurological development of children. So that purely is based on that. So, like Hillary said, 16 is the age that we landed on from the current research that just says this is where we start to see some of these executive function skills really kicking in that will help them with things like judgment, which they have to have, they have to practice that skill, especially from the kinds of things that they're seeing online. But we extend that further to say no social media until at least 16. We go and speak with parents who say, we're not ready at 16 to give our children social media. And I've shared on these conversations previously, I have a 15-year-old who's going to be 16 next year. And honestly, I don't feel still at him approaching 16. He's even ready to navigate some of the things that I know exist on social media. So we really just set that as our minimum age. And we really encourage parents just to, your own child. I know my own son, and so we're going to course correct, and we may even delay that further, which we've not had that conversation with him yet. But it really is this very tricky area to navigate between this the laws about protecting children's data, and there are no laws about protecting children's brain development. We just don't see the same kind of standpoint.
So let's kind of maybe set some a foundation here. And we hear this term social media bandied about all over, really, frankly. Maybe we should like define what we mean by social media. I'm not sure everybody has the same kind of understanding of what it really means.
You nailed it. And this was something Sally and I specifically spent some time on prior to our conversation, because there is no answer that I can tell you today that will stick for tomorrow. And I'll give you an example. There's an app called Spotify. I think many people listening are familiar with this music streaming app. And it recently added chatting capabilities. And it also has access to video content that is not well guarded for children's eyes. And so, if you look at Spotify where it was 2 months ago, and you look at where it is today, it has morphed into a social media app. Children can text and communicate with each other. You can access content that you wouldn't want your child having access to. And it all falls under this umbrella of a musical streaming company. And so, while I'd like to sit here and say, I can give you a list, hey, parents, check out this list. Make sure these apps are not on your child's device and you're good to go. It's going to change. And so the question becomes what we talk a lot about. It's not even so much the apps that are changing, and we're aware of that. It's just the behavior that is being impacted by these apps that we need to really pay attention to. And that is truly the problem. It's an addiction. It's playing on anxiety. It's playing on confidence, the fear of missing out, presenting images that aren't appropriate or are putting together a mindset that's not healthy for a young girl who's developing and growing and going through puberty and all of those things. So there are apps like Pinterest that one would say is lovely, but children are now utilizing it in a way that I worry about. You know, does a girl need to be going on Pinterest to look at a recipe for something that she wants to bake for, you know, whatever it might be? And it brings her into this whole area of extreme dieting. You know, so Pinterest to me is another unique app where you really want to make sure what your child is looking up is appropriate. And so there's always going to be changing apps. There's always going to be things that parents need to look into. And when it comes to social media, if there's conversations that can be done between students or children, that's one to take a look at. Is there an ability to communicate with either somebody in their friend group or outside their friend group? Then that would fall under the social media world. Is there content that's being displayed? That's another form of social media, if you look at it, because it's social. You're going to talk about what's going on in today's events, what's going on in an individual child's life. There's an app called Lockety. Lockety is really interesting. It will pull from your child's most recent photos, and then it will share it with a locked group of friends that they're in. Even though this group of friends is considered locked, that you don't add outsiders, it's portraying a part of your child's life that is then shared with a group of individuals that you don't know what kind of messaging that's sending to a girl whose parents might be having troubles at home. And then here she's getting pictures of her friends on family vacations or doing things with her dad. And her home life is just not feeling good at the moment. And so there's that pressure and that anxiety and that pain that this child is experiencing on an app that seems cute and fun and safe, but it's not. And so, again, there's so many of these apps that keep coming out that fall under certain umbrellas. There's one that I would love for Sally to kind of chat a little bit about. I always forget the name of it, that most recently is incredibly popular. Sally, what is the name of this app?
This is an app called CoverStar, which has
There you go.
recently been brought to our attention, and really to
Say it again. I'm sorry. It's called what again?
CoverStar.
Cover Star. Good grief.
Yes.
I've never even heard of that.
Well, and this is the thing, Tom. This is what happens all the time. A parent will just about get their head around and understand one app, and then 3 or 4 days later, another app has been released, and now all the children have pivoted over there. But like Hillary said, the behavior, you can XYZ, whatever the app is, but the behavior is the same on all of these apps. So this app that Hillary is referencing is called CoverStar, and it's marketed as almost a children's TikTok. So it's a safe TikTok where primarily young girls will go, can post content. They propose, they use very stringent AI checking capabilities to ensure that nobody is writing any hurtful or hateful comments. They promote this, place of positivity. But what I saw when I spent some time there, and I've been speaking to some parents specifically here in Houston, is you're seeing the same behaviors. It's this kind of playground of like for like mentality, like my post, I'll like your post. You get given stars for how popular your content is. The comments are just, I mean, so heartbreaking. Young girls saying, I'm not as pretty as you, or I wish I was as skinny as you. And these are young children. And we've had conversations with parents who said, well, we agreed to this app because we thought it wasn't social media. And we thought this is a safer variation of TikTok, but it's the same thing. And really all we're doing is priming them for other social media apps. They are learning all of these behaviors. I actually learned something recently about there are still ways that children can give negative feedback and make negative comments, but they almost hide it as a positive comment. It's called, I think it's fair, it's something like the fairy comments. And so they use, people will use emojis and they will put emojis between certain words. Maybe like they'll say, we hate you, but between each of those words, there'll be a love heart. And so algorithms aren't picking up the negative content. And so they're finding ways around to still say very negative things. Isn't that just so
Sad.
fascinating?
Yeah. It's
Yes.
sad.
Really sad.
I was just looking at this cover star. This is like borderline deceptive when they throw all these stuff up here, this new kind of social app for Gen Z. And then you scroll down here and it's like they make this reference to COPPA compliant social platform. Again, clouding everybody's vision of, oh, hey, this is safe. Your kids are protected in here. But doesn't seem to me like it's any different than anything else.
No, I mean, and if we're going to continue on some of these apps that we really struggle with, I mean, an enormous elephant in the room is Snapchat. And if a parent is not aware of Snapchat today, I encourage you, number one, please go look at it. And number two, go see if your child is on it. Snapchat is designed so that any message immediately disappears. And so if you think about a child at the age of 13 or even 15, 16, 17, knowing they can put anything out there. They can take a picture of anything, regardless of how inappropriate it is, and then share or snap to anybody that they want in their group or outside of their group, and it's gone forever. I can't fathom that feeling comfortable for a parent. I just can't. And the sad component to Snapchat is become so incredibly popular and integrated into teenage life. We hear over and over again, it is the only way to be invited to the party. It is the only way to connect with people. No, nobody sends text messages anymore. This is the only way we talk. And to add on to it, Snapchat has a component called a snap streak. So what they want to do is they want to pull in this gamification and this gambling component, keep you hooked by saying, if you send a snap every day back and forth to one of your other Snap friend users, you're going to start a streak. And let's see how long you can keep this streak going. And my goodness, have we heard stories about people who've paid friends while they were on vacation outside the country and they knew they couldn't keep their streak up? So they asked a friend, hey, you got to go on my Snap account and you got to keep up with my streak every day. And then we had one girl, which was incredibly sad. We heard a story about her reaching out to one of our speakers, very upset because a snap streak had been broken that had been over 100 plus days or so. I don't remember the exact amount. She was literally absolutely in tears. And when asked, "Well, what did the other girl say to you?" She said, "Oh, we don't talk. She's like the most, popular girl in this school, and I'm not." What, like, that just is very heartbreaking. Here's this human being who's really, like you said, trying to figure things out in teenage life and being a high schooler. It's not easy. And then you confuse a child thinking she has this potential relationship with a very popular girl through something called Snapchat. It's not real. It's not real. And it's painful and it's destroying children. It absolutely is hurting them in so many ways. Anxiety is through the roof. There are things that, if you look at the Anxious Generation book, the statistics are there. We don't really need to sit and kind of spew this out. I think as a parent, and if you're on social media and you know how it makes you feel, imagine how your little 15-year-old son who has a pimple, who's developing certain things about his life and feels so uncomfortable and is not ready to approach a girl he likes. Add all of that to the discomfort you get when you see friends going out and having drinks without you. Imagine their whole life comes to crumbling. And so, it's very challenging to me that I know the government is trying to put together legislation that will say social media should really be the age 16 and up, but we are far from that happening here. I will say in the state of Kansas, they currently just filed a lawsuit against Snapchat as child endangerment. People are waking up to it, but today, September 25th, or whichever day you might be listening to this, please pay attention to what your child is doing with their social media accounts. If they're young, they shouldn't be on them. They're just not ready.
It almost
Sorry,
seems
that
like
was
you
my name.
guys have a full-time job just keeping track of all these different apps and the impact that they have on our kids.
We also heard a really poignant speech, or I did, from a gentleman of a founder of an organization called Arrow. They create a box where they encourage families to put their phones into the box and then an app that decreases their use time as a family. And in what he references, today's generation of children are growing up watching more memories than actually living them. And that's a sentiment that's very sad if you were to look at a child who has unregulated social media use, who's going on to TikTok daily, who's looking at YouTube shorts. They're taking in so much content of this beautiful world that God has created for us. And He wants children to go out and enjoy and experience and learn. And yeah, they're going to have hardships, of course. But if they're not out there doing it, if they're not out getting their heart broken, even breaking a finger, whatever it is, physically, mentally, emotionally, they're not living. And we're starting to see the impact of that because children no longer have the interest and ability to develop certain social skills because it's a lot easier online. It's a lot easier to be friends with the most popular girl through Snapchat than it is to actually build a relationship with her. And so if you see what's happening, it's causing a detriment to our children to really develop into a normal social human being who's healthy mentally and happy with their lives. And figuring out that yes, it's not going to be perfect, but this is okay, And so instead, we're seeing, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds even who've grown up with too much of this social media. They're having a hard time at work. They're having a hard time dealing with some of the normal grievances in life because they've been somewhat sheltered through these apps. And so I like to hear that other countries, I know they've come up with certain bans or they've proposed bans, but parents just, really pay attention to these apps. It will be very difficult to stay on top of all of them, but look at what they're doing on them. Make sure they're not hidden. Children know how to hide certain apps on phones. So if an app is hidden and you're able to figure that out, it probably means it's not a good one. And it probably means your child is aware that they're doing some things on it that they shouldn't. And back to Snapchat, this is not something to scare people, but I know parents who are aware of it and who are not. It is the easiest place for a child to buy drugs on these days. It is no longer the street corner where a child needs to go during nighttime or daytime or whatever it might be. It's you go on Snapchat, you create an account. And within 5, 6 minutes, if you put out the right signaling messages, you can be connected with a drug dealer. You can put the address of where you want to meet that human being, and you can buy your drugs. And this is not I'm not trying to, fear parents into taking action. This is a reality. And because of its feature, because the content disappears, there's no way to trace this. Think about it. You can commit whatever you want to commit, and it cannot be traced.
That
So
to me is
it's
just
happening.
incredible.
And
But
well, and
is it really being eliminated, or is it somewhere on some server that can still come back someday,
well,
I
and we
wonder,
speak
I
to,
don't know.
well, we speak to a lot. We've had connections with law enforcement. Some of the lead parents who partner with us at schools have come from FBI backgrounds. And what we hear time and time again is, yes, this Snapchat especially might be the place where all the kids want to go hang out, but it's the exact place where all the criminals also go to hang out because it is so hard to prove any wrongdoing on the app because things will disappear. And like Hillary just mentioned then, Dr. Crystal Collier, who's on our advisory board, she's a researcher. She has her own private practice as a therapist. She told us a story once about having a client who had come to her office and actually said, was trying to demonstrate how easy it was to get drugs and said, I just have to put on my location services on Snap. It's going to flag up where I am. And in 2 clicks, I can have a dealer here delivering me anything that I want. And so Dr. Collier had kind of said, no, surely it's not quite that simple. And this person said, watch this. Enabled location services, click, click. And she was like, oh, they'll be here in 5 minutes. And she was like, no. But in that instant, it was that easy for them. And she didn't even have to provide the address. The person would simply use this location service on the app to be able to find exactly where they were located. And when it comes, I was just having a conversation with a parent last week at one of our presentations who came to me afterwards and said, oh, I'm monitoring this and I'm monitoring this social media app and I'm monitoring this social media and can I monitor this? And I said, number one, you can't monitor Snapchat on any monitoring software. That's why, that's where all the criminals are. There's no way to monitor this. No app, Bark, Bright Canary, Aura, all of these apps that are software for monitoring do not work on Snapchat. But two, similar to what you said, Tom, it feels like a full-time job having to spend all this time monitoring these social media apps, which is why this is one of our norms. Delay, just delay having to invest that much time into policing all of these things that these children are getting into because social media is a gateway. They may originally go into a social media app with the intentions of maybe just chatting with their friends. It is not, it doesn't take very long until they've all of a sudden discovered somewhere that parents have no idea is where, they've discovered. And I read a statistic that around about 70% of teenagers now use social media as a news source. So, our generation, we Google things, and Google is the word Google as a verb has been around since I think 2003 was its first notated time of being a verb where we Google things. Teenagers don't do that anymore. They don't Google things. They don't, so they go to social media for their news. And when we consider just how much misinformation and disinformation is deliberately spread news that is false to create this outrage, to create engagement. That's where children are finding things out. That's where they're learning about the world, about some of this very misconstrued, very inaccurate depictions of the world around them. And that's honestly where we kind of venture into some of these tragic cases of children who get radicalized. We get this polarization of views because they get stuck in an echo chamber in these social media platforms that reaffirm their belief systems. And it's devastating what's happening. So we really want to help these children understand, do not go and get your news from social media sources. That part of our digital literacy is about fact checking, how we can look for credible sources. And social media is not that place currently, or ever, may ever never be where we should ever go.
Right.
I know we just have a minute left here, but you mentioned Bark and some other softwares to help protect families. How do those programs work? Do you have to install it on your phone or your device and then choose which apps that you block with it or that you monitor with it? How do those actually work for parents who are not really clear on that?
Yes, so I first became familiar with Bark a few years ago. Like I shared with you, my son was one of those kiddos who got a phone too early. I didn't know what I know now, and so we implemented the Bark software. So essentially, you download it onto Bark in particular has to go onto a laptop or a computer device, and you pair it up with a child's device, iPad, smartphone. And it basically monitors everything that's going on that device and will screenshot and alert the parent to any things that are deemed maybe inappropriate, offensive, concerning content, so that you're able to look through. It kind of, some parents will say it feels so exhaustive having to pick their child's phone up and scroll through all the messages and read. I mean, considering how many notifications these kiddos get, that's a lot of content to read. So this software basically will condense down and flag up any content that is concerning. Similar ones, Bright Canary is another really great one. They use a kind of AI within it to help detect content that's concerning. However, there are so many ways that children know how to bypass these. You only have to go online and you'll see all kinds of loopholes and ways around, which is why we love these basic phones, where a parent is able to choose which content, which apps a child has on the device, as opposed to allowing them everything and then spending hours having to monitor and go through a lot of this content.
Ladies, we're going to have to put a stop right there. Another topic that we could probably spend hours on. My head is kind of exploding right now with, I don't know anything about social media. I mean, I think I started and ended with Facebook, and even that, I don't understand half of it half the time. But it's just amazing to me all the different things that are out there that are frankly just designed to pull our children, to be very blunt, into a deep dark pit of hell, and it is not healthy for them at all. So I'm going to get on my soapbox here for about 3 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, go to smart-families.org. Take the phones away from your kids. Go buy them one of these safe phones and bring them back. Get them off of this ridiculous drug. And get some of your family values and your family time back. Encourage everybody, again, smart-families.org. Go check out our past episodes on Armor of God Radio Catholic. I'm sorry, armorofgodradio.com. And you can hear all of the past episodes of School Spirit and our Smart Families interviews as well. Ladies, we got one more. Can we come back next week and finish up this last norm?
Be great.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, great. Folks, remember to put on the armor of God.